of you, Lord, our champion, our king, our God, our Savior, our Lord, and our friend. You are the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You said all that come unto you, you would in no wise cast out. Lord, we've come unto you. Thank you for receiving us. We thank you for the blood, Lord. Lord, I can't help but thank you again for a verse I was reading this morning. Those that believe on me, they have passed from death unto life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Say, Lord, I believe on you. I've been born again. And I have passed from death to life. I'm already living forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We keep thinking, you know, we just naturally think someday, you know, when we leave here, you know, we go to heaven, then we're going to start our eternal life. No, you already started. You're living eternally now. You're never going to die, Jesus said. Jesus said, those that believe on me shall never die. Now, you're going to lay down this earth suit. If the Lord tarries, you know, you're going to lay that down. But you yourself are, you already living forever. That'll get you to start thinking eternity-minded. Say, oh, this is just a little bus stop. This life that I'm in right now, this is just a little stop on the way here. He dropped me off here to do some work for him while we're living eternally, you know. The day's going to come, I just get back on the bus, but I'm already headed in the right direction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you very much. Glory to God. I think you folks are saved or something. Get up early, come down here Thursday morning. You know, and I was fasting this morning. I ate 2 donuts real fast. What? That doesn't count? What? You know? So then I got into series fasting. I ate 1 real fast. And I remember Dave talking about series fasting. I thought, oh, I better eat another one real fast. Series fasting. See? Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is celebration week. Now, you do the fasting and the praying to prepare for the celebration. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What'd you say?
Time to eat donuts.
Time to eat donuts this week. That's right. That's right. Glory to God. Well, these morning sessions, we've been... I know it sounds like we've been talking about money, kingdom finances, but we've really been talking about hearing the voice of God. Is amen?
Amen.
But since I have touched on that so strongly, and then yesterday we made those, let you know about the tapes, and again, how many pastors do we have in here? Can I see your hands, please? Quite a few, and then a lot of you are going to be carrying these tapes home and or getting them in the mail when you get home. Now, I'm still going to talk about hearing God's voice today. But LaRue, down in Houston, was really the first church where I started. He allowed me to start teaching these things. And pastors, when you start teaching this to your people, you better be ready for the war. And since LaRue was the first, and then we've experienced it here at the prayer center, the same things, and you're going to experience it there. You got your work cut out for you if you're going to take your people from formula to relationship. So LaRue is going to come up. Come on up, LaRue, and kind of give you a report. You know, we're not supposed to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Yes, give LaRue a hand as he comes. Now, if you think I'm not a man of great faith to hand a preacher like this the microphone when it's my meeting. But he's gonna help you now and help you prepare for the war. Because I tell you, if you're going to start this, you better be set in for the long haul.
tell them.
Hallelujah. First of all, I think I want to get that tape on fasting that Gary just taught here. That's one tape I can listen to all the time. Amen. You know, when I saw these tapes lined out yesterday morning, there was about five series, and I knew by revelation, of course, that four of those he had taught at our church. And you guys were looking at some phenomenal revelation laying down there. I was looking at memories. But what kind of memories? Well, I think we called them sacred cow barbecues. Memories of crucifixion of self. I tell you what is on those tapes, folks, can produce billionaires. It will move, as Gary said, the church from sharecropper to sonship mentality. And boy, that's wonderful when you hear those kind of things. But when you start doing them, especially from pastor's point of view, when you start releasing and what it's going to do, it's going to absolutely liberate the sheep. But you're the one that has to do it, pastors. You have to liberate the sheep. And to do that, it's going to cost you, as it cost me. I remember so clearly when I'd asked Gary to come down, I was so excited. I had no idea what I was in for. I had no idea for 2 years God had been laying out these foundations. And that day, and I'm going to make this very quickly, and that day, all Gary really was laying the foundation was for phase one, Jesus, your provider. But boy, did he, I'm telling you what, he did away with the law. And when he came in there was no more law, and you just couldn't believe what was happening to our people. I mean, when these people had realized that their life, they had been subjected to the law and their finances, I mean, people were absolutely going into intercession. They were crying and weeping and getting so liberated, and boy, it was exciting. But at the same time, you know, as a pastor, you get to, before this, you get to really depend on that tithe, you know. You know who's going to tithe, you know when they're going to tithe, and you know how much they're going to tithe. And boy, I tell you what, I started seeing something developing real quickly. Because when you take the law out, somebody said, well then if, what am I giving for then if it's not for me to reap the rewards? After all, if I do give, God, well certainly he's bound to bless me, you know. It does away with a curse and all that. And I started seeing that, and after Gary had preached that tape series, The Widow's Mite, I pulled him into a room. I had one of these rooms off the church, and I said, Gary, come here, brother. And I got him in that room, and I said, Gary, what about the stability of the local church? I said, you're going to have to explain this, because really I was asking him, what about my security that you have absolutely chopped completely down? My whole security had just been chopped down, and all of a sudden I'm just sitting there. And I'm telling you, it was a trial. But this is the deal. You have to come to a decision. And you'll know more of what we're talking about when you devour them. And I want to say this. One pass through, you won't get it. He taught them at our church. A year and a half later, I began passing through them again and again. And so what I decided to do, even his internet teachings, I just downloaded them all into a notebook and I read one of them a day. One of them a day. And it's the most amazing thing. After about the sixth or seventh pass, it'll hit you. And I'm telling you, when that transformation in your belief system's made, boy, it makes the Holy Ghost job so much easier to do what he needs to do. You have to come to a decision in this kind of message. You're either going to die and let the Lord lay your entire church or your life as a believer upon this foundation. Are you going to go back to the law? Because when you'd get up, you know, for years and you would use the scriptures, Luke 6:38, you know, you can't do that with a good conscience anymore. You know, or you'd use the scriptures, well, he that soweth bountifully would reap bountifully. The problem is the bountiful reaping they were doing was for the Father. You see, and so what about me then? The question arises, well, then what about me? What about me? It is all about me. Of course. If you take the what about me, get ready. Because some of those prized givers in your church, when you take me out of it, you might find out who's true and who's not. And that's the decision you'll have to make. Will you move forward or will you stay? This is the deal. If you let the Holy Ghost move you forward and lay this foundation, then you have qualified yourself for the Lord to produce billionaires out of your church. I don't believe there's another message on the face of the earth that has the capacity to produce billionaires for the gospel. So in the short term, there might be a trial that you may face when you're doing this. In the long term, you're the one's going to be lifting your hands and glorifying God. And when every pastor comes to your church in the city wondering why all the wealth has seemed to find itself in your house, and when you have work to do, all you do is you just have to call your five gospel entrepreneurs and they just get it all done for you. The kings have come forth, then you'll thank God you laid your life upon that foundation and your church, and you liberated the sheep and put them on that foundation. Short term, it may not come as fast as you want to. Long term, I'm telling you, it's going to come. So I would highly encourage you to listen to them and listen to them and listen until the full revelation forms in you. And then the Lord can move them out of the sharecropper mentality into the sonship mentality, which is laying the foundation for what the Lord wants to do. And if you experience some of the things that I did, and of course I did, people would come to me, they would have weeks where it wasn't so good. Well, after all, if I'm not on the curse, well, I don't really need to give like I used to anyway. And they wouldn't. What did you do? Nothing. You have it a little bit easier than I did, because when Gary first came, he came in, he said, it's by grace, it's grace alone, glory to God. This whole thing's by grace. You can't earn it, deserve it. There's nothing you'll ever do to make that standing any more than what it is. And there's never an amount of giving that you can give to make that standing any more than what it is. Then he went home. I said, all right, well, what do we do now? And everybody would come, well, what do we do now? I said, I don't know. But I tell you, it was truth. And we're just going to have to hang on it. Well, what did you did? I climbed up upon that brazen altar and I burned. I died. But, oh, I'm so thankful this day, because the Lord was just as interested in me understanding Him as my provider as He was you understanding Him as. And I thanked Him. And so what I did, and pastors, you may have to do this too, I found me a runway about 20, 30 feet long, and I began walking back and forth. Father, I thank You. I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor. But through His poverty I've been made rich. I am a priest of the Lord. I am named a minister of my God, and I will be fed with the treasures of the nation. The gates of covenant worship center are open day and night. They shall not be shut that men may bring unto us the wealth of the nation. We will spend all of our days in prosperity and our years in pleasure. And I began to work, just walk up and down the floor, up and down the floor. And during the offering time, I'd say, bow your heads, close your eyes, ask the Lord what you have to do. I'm sitting there, tell him, God, tell him. Hallelujah. Did He tell him? Oh, He told him. Hallelujah. It never comes, never to this day, the way I think it will, but boy, does it come. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
You did good, Holy Spirit. You did good. Now, y'all see why I love LaRue so much? Now, he was kind of hard on himself, although that did happen. Here's what I love about LaRue. The very first time we ever came, he didn't even have his own church building or anything. And they shared a building with another couple of ministries, I think. And so I come down there, and he's right. The Lord's teaching me better. When I first saw this, I was so mad. I was so angry. Because I could, boy, when you see it, you really see it. And you understand how the devil is keeping the lid on the finances of the church. And it's by keeping them under the law. Can you be saved under the law today? If you try your whole life, can you?
No.
If you try harder, can you?
No.
You can't be saved by the law?
No.
How about, you can be healed by the law, though, can't you?
No.
Oh, you can't be healed by the law? What makes us think we can prosper by the law? I was angry. I was mad. I saw it. And what I was mad with, well, I was partly mad at the preachers. I've gotten better at that because then I understood they were just deceived. Then I got madder at the enemy. So I'm better now. I come in and I blasted their foundation with an atom bomb. I didn't give them no mercy. I don't care if y'all die. This is the truth. I'm going to kill y'all. Let God sort you out, you know. Poor LaRue. Here's what I love about LaRue. Because he didn't know. You know, he didn't know. And I think the very first message I hammered on Luke 6:38. You know. And, well, you know, and at the time, Luke's, you know, the way that was taught, you know, in the body of Christ, everybody. And boy, and the thing I love about LaRue, I mean, his eyes as big as saucers. He's hearing all this. And look, he said, my God, it does say that. You know, and he's looking in his Bible. And the thing I love about him, he's quick to repent. Boy, when he sees the truth, now he'll change in a heartbeat. So he got up, he kind of, I was done. Everybody, it's quiet in here. You know, LaRue staggers up. He has to take the offering now. And he walks up and he, and apparently they kind of had this practice. They had a little band, you know, a drummer and a guitar and a bass. And he just kind of, his mind, I can tell his mind is just chewing on all this, you know. And he's kind of half out of it. And he's getting ready to take an offering. And he goes, and I guess this was a common practice. He turned around and says, okay, go ahead and play Luke 6. No, don't play that. No. Am I right, Lou? It was some kind of little Luke 6:38 song that they usually... But let me give some wisdom of experience now to you pastors when you start doing this. I don't do it that way anymore, except at LaRue's. No, what we need to do, you know, if you come in and the only thing people have, if it's their total security, and you come in just jerk that out from under them, and it's all they have to stand on, they will fight you. They will resist you, of course. So the idea really, and that's why the Lord likes to do it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So the way I see it now, if they're standing on a brick foundation, my job is to come in, one brick at a time, remove, replace it with the truth, another brick at a time, remove. And that way they don't ever totally lose their, you know, their stability. Line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. That's how we learn it, okay? But now there's two things, pastors. Because two things are going to happen. It happened there. It happened here at the prayer center. When you start setting the sheep free from the law, and they find out they're really not cursed if they don't give, and they find out they're not automatically blessed like some kind of big slot machine in the sky when they do, like a Pepsi machine, you know, when they find that out, their flesh is going to rise up really big. And they're going to say, they're going to go, I went through it for a little while. I had to re-examine all my motivations. That's what the Lord's trying to get us to do. See? So the process is good, but the money's bad for a little while. Because while they're going through that, then they're going, well, why am I giving in the first place? I mean, up until now, it was all about me. And see, what the Holy Ghost is trying to do is get us all sold out to it's all about Him. See? It takes some time for that motivation. So number one, if you're going to teach what's on those tapes, you better be set on teaching them mortification. You better teach them how to mortify the flesh and the edification process so that their heart can be changed from self-motivation to kingdom motivation. Okay? Then the second thing you're going to have to do is... And I found this to be the hardest thing. LaRue's found it to be the hardest thing. Getting people to do what LaRue demonstrated for you is exactly what the Lord had me do 4 hours a day to break through and convince this unjust judge in my mind. See, you know, why is it? Why is our soul an unjust judge? Well, because it'll take payola. A bad judge, you know, a good judge will only hear evidence that is truth. But an unjust judge, it'll just receive any kind of evidence and give it equal weight. And that's what our soul is like. God's given us His truth, and it is truth. But see, the soul, it'll take your... can you believe the audacity? It will take your circumstances as being truth. Your soul will consider your circumstances as truth. And that's what makes it an unjust judge. See? And what you have to do is you have to bombard it, overwhelm it, like that widow that wouldn't quit coming day and night, day and night, day and night. No, here's the truth. Here's the truth. So you listen to this. Walk the floor, confess God's Word, confess God's Word. He had me do it 4 hours a day for months and months. Till finally, that judge, he says, "You weary me with your much coming. I'll render a verdict." Boom! You really are prosperous. That day will mark the bottom of your roller coaster ride. Your soul finally come in agreement with your spirit. The inner man has become one now. And your circumstances are in for a rejuvenation. The Word has come and healed your finances. You'll start prospering by inheritance from that day forward instead of your giving. What's going on? See, I kill you in the mornings and Dave heals you at night. Is that what's been going on? What? I used to be the good cop. Open your Bible to two places. I like doing that. I like pinching the Bible in between our fingers and looking at something. We're going to look at Old Covenant, New Covenant a little bit, and we're still going to be talking today about hearing God's voice. And again, I like to give this demonstration. Oh, I need to tell you where to go, don't I? Let me tell you where to go. Proverbs 25, verse 28, and then Galatians. It's a big pinch today. Galatians 5, and probably, we'll use verse 25 to start. So Galatians 5, 25, and Proverbs 25, 28. Now I'm telling you right now, as plain as I can possibly say it, Pottawatomie County and all, if you're going to hear God, you're going to have to get free of religion. He don't like it. He never came up with it. He wants a family, not a religious bunch. If you're going to hear the Spirit of God, He's going to talk to you like you're a family member, like you're a son of the Father and you are loved. That's the way He's going to talk to you. Even when He corrects you, He's going to talk to you that way. He loves you. And He is not religious, and He does not talk to you in religious terms. But see, we've all been brainwashed with religion, and it's easier for us to hear that. We expect God to talk that way. So when He doesn't talk the way we expect Him to, we act like, well, we didn't even hear that. Now I'll show you exactly what, I mean, I think He's given me a way today to get this where you're never, ever going to forget it. Okay? Now let's look at these two verses. Let's look at Proverbs first. Now, let me ask you before we start. Proverbs. This is a test. Would you say that's Old Testament or New Testament? So would you say this was given before the new birth was available? Okay, y'all got an A. You did good. Everything under the Old Testament was given to spiritually dead people. You could not be born again. Now, it's not that God didn't love them. He did. A lot of these people did their very best to serve God. And that's what really astounds me so much. They did it with a death nature. You talk about, no wonder God said, David is a man after my own heart. Here's a man with a death nature, but was able to overcome that enough to serve God the way he did. No wonder God was proud of him. You know? But still yet, it doesn't change the fact in their spirit, they still had a death nature, because you couldn't be born again until after Jesus was glorified, isn't that right? So everything written to them, we have to, and see, and we don't remember this when we read it. Now, for example, this verse, Proverbs 25, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Okay? Makes sense. We understand what that says, right? All right, well, so we're supposed to rule over our spirit. And if we don't, then if our city is like one that's broken down and without walls, it means we're open to attack by the enemy. So boy, you read that and you think, well, one thing I want to for sure do is rule over my own spirit. You know, I want to have control over that thing. Now, trouble is, Keep them pinched. Go to Galatians 5:25. See, that's old covenant. That's the word of God to a spiritually dead man. But now look what the word of God is to a spiritually alive man. And another way you could put Proverbs 25:28 is to say, well, one thing's for sure, you don't want to walk by your spirit. You want to rule over that spirit and not let it rule you. Isn't that right? Isn't that what he's saying back there? But look what he says here in Galatians 5:25. And any of you that's been on the born-again trail at all, do you know that's a... Is that a big S or a little S? Little S. It's talking about walking by the new nature. We could prove that easily. Hagin had... He had this part out years and years ago in his books. Just back up to verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That fruit of the Spirit he's talking about is the fruit of the new nature that you got born again with. See? And if you let that nature develop in you, then the fruit in you is going to be those things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Jesus is the vine. Who's the branches? We the branches? Well, where does fruit appear? On the branch. So whose spirit is it producing the fruit? Somebody said Jesus. Well, in you, yes. It's that new nature. He's the vine. It's from Him that we got the life on the inside of us. But that new nature now on the inside of us, that's why it should be little s. Fruit of the Spirit should be little s. It's that new nature He put in you. And if you let that come, let that develop, now you've got all this good fruit. See? Hallelujah. It makes people want to become Christians and stuff. I won't even go any further than that. Okay. Now, but look at verse 25. And again, that should be, in fact, it says, if we live in the Spirit, in King James, it says, capital S, that should be little s. If we live by the new nature, if it's the new nature that's now made us alive, isn't that right? Let us also walk in the Spirit, or let us also walk in that new nature. Let the new nature bring forward that fruit that he just mentioned up there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, wait a minute. We got a problem now. Paul is telling us in Galatians to walk by our human spirit, our reborn human spirit. But Solomon in Proverbs told us, you better rule over that thing. Now, see, when you start understanding the born-again trail, you start understanding what's really happened to us, you're going to start reading the Old Testament in a whole new light. And there's lots of stuff in there that was pounded into you as if you were still a spiritually dead person that doesn't even apply to a new covenant person. I shouldn't have said new covenant, New Testament person, a born-again, spiritually alive son of the living God. Okay? Now, here's the example that he gave me. See, here's our dilemma. Because our problem is, every one of us were born with a death nature. Amen? I have to leave this on just a minute. Every one of us was born with a death nature. So when you come into this earth, you're just like the spiritually dead Jew in Romans 7. That's the example Paul used, but all men are born spiritually dead, whether you're born Jewish or any other way, right? So you're born. You've got a death spirit. Now, for teaching purposes, can y'all see me okay? I'm not nearly as tall as LaRue. I was thinking, now, Elaine said she couldn't see what was going on last night. When you come down off, I bet she could have seen you. Tall, you know. I go, LaRue. Anyway. All right, now, for teaching purposes, let's say this is you. You're born in the earth. You've got a death nature. You have not been born again yet. Now, every decision that you make, you've got a choice. Now, for teaching purposes, let me visualize with me that on my right hand is a door leading into a chamber that we'll call the Spirit. This is the death nature because you've not been born again yet. So, through life, you need to make a decision. That's one room you could go into to get your counsel from. Now, visualize with me on my left hand here is another door. This is the soul. The intellect, the mind, the will, and the emotions. You have these two rooms within you to make every decision. Okay? Now you're still got a death nature. You every decision you need to, you know, every decision you come up against, you can get counsel from either room. All right, so let's say you're very young, maybe 5-6 years old. You're in a room with other children, and you're playing, and you know, all the kids are having fun, and you see this other kid over here that's got a brand new shiny plastic toy truck, and that kid is having a good time playing with that truck, and you've got an old truck, and you're looking at his truck, and you're looking at your truck, and you go, that kid is having more fun than me with his truck. I have an old truck. He has a new truck. What should I do? I think I'll step into my spirit. Get my counsel from there. And that death nature says, steal the truck. Alrighty then. Come out of there. You're just born in the earth with a death nature. This is what Dave means when he says, now, if you have a death nature, how do you know anything else? You get your counsel from that nature. And that nature is selfish to the core. It doesn't care. It's all about me, you know. It doesn't care about that kid, or, you know, just, you know, cares about you. So you walk over here. You reach to grab the truck. The little kid resists. You bop him on the head with your truck. You take his truck. You go back over here, and you're just happy. You got the truck. And that kid over there squalling and crying and unhappy, you know. And you don't care. Hey, I got mine. I got my truck. That's what the death nature is. And that's the kind of person that Solomon is writing about, because everybody under the old covenant had that nature, couldn't get a new nature. And he says, you better rule over that spirit. Because if you don't, the enemy is coming. And you'll have no defenses. Now let's come back to our little kid with the truck. He's happy. He's got the shiny new truck now. The other kid's squalling and bawling. That boy took my truck. Let's say there was a teacher in the room, a godly one. Well, she saw this whole thing. So she comes over to you. And if she's godly, she warms your behind. There is no such thing as time out in the Bible. That's why he put that nice, thick padding. See all that padding? See, huh? Got lots of nice, thick padding there. It won't hurt them. You know, and you spank them until you get past the rebellion. Spare not, for they're much crying if you love them. You better get past it, because the whole idea is to start teaching them while they've got that death nature. They better to learn to rule over that spirit, over that death nature. So the teacher, boy, she comes and says, No, little Gary. Stealing and bopping other kids is wrong. Whacka, whacka, whacka. Ow! Ow! Whacka, whacka. You gonna do that anymore? No, I never do that anymore. You don't steal. I don't steal. Whacka, whacka, whacka. You know, you gotta get past the rebellion. Right? Make a point. So she takes the truck, she makes you go over, give the truck back, make you say, I'm sorry. You come back and sit down. Now you're pondering. You say, let's see now. I made that the last decision by taking counsel from my spirit. The end result of that counsel produced pain. Let's see now. Stealing produces pain. I don't like pain, and the pain I suffered was more than the enjoyment I got out of stealing. Let me walk into my soul and make a note of this. Writes on the blackboard of your mind. Now get this, thou shalt not steal. You ever hear Dave talk about an artificial conscience? Can you see what's going on? Now he's got a death nature still, but he says, now the next time I come up to a situation where I'm tempted to steal, he says, I'm going to keep the door locked over here into this spirit, this death nature, because it gets me in trouble. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk over here and I'm going to read what's been written in my mind that I've been instructed by my teachers and by the Word. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, okay. I'm going to take my counsel from my soul. See, can you see that process? Does that help? Now, what's bad is as we continue to grow, you've still got that death nature. And unless somebody has taught you, unless, you know, somebody puts you in a good school and a good church, because left to your own, if there's no reward and punishment, see, this is the whole purpose of the law. God gave spiritually dead nation the entire law so they could go into the, they could write that law in their mind by hearing it week after week after week in the synagogues. Now they have something to operate by, and that's why the admonition here, you better rule over your own spirit. Don't you live by that death nature. Well, see, we're all born with that death nature. Every person in this room has experienced that problem. And so until you got born again, here's what we did. Every time we'd operate by that death nature, we'd get in trouble. We'd get whoopings. We'd get condemnation. Bad things would happen. Hopefully, if that doesn't happen, you're going to have monsters grow up in your house. That death nature, hey, the capacity for evil is bottomless in that. Like Dave says, you know, we all have the capacity to be Hitlers. It's just who had you. You know? Isn't that right? See, I don't like to think that about myself. Well, think it. You better think it. Because it's the truth. So as we grow up and we keep, you know, every time we go in there, because we don't, unless we've been instructed in our soul, we don't know anything else to operate by. We operate by the death nature, get our counsel. So the next thing, you know, somebody does evil to you. Somebody does treat you bad. You go in here, you haven't been taught yet. So you can step into your spirit. You don't know where else to go. That's all you got's a death nature. They were mean to me. What should I do? Kill them and hurt them. Okay. I need to harm them. Well, that's what a death nature is. You see? So you learn, you get taught, either by the word, in school, your parents, somebody, little by little. Here's the way we grow up then. Man, I don't ever want to go in that room again where that death nature is. I'm not only closing the door, I'm locking the door, I'm nailing plywood over the door, I'm taking 2x6s now and putting over the door, and that's what Solomon's talking about, ruling over your spirit. Got that? But now then the day comes. And maybe for like me, 33 years. I got saved when I was 33. For 33 years, see? And the better you are in society of walking in the soul and making your decisions by the soul, the better society says, you're a nice guy. You're an honest person and a good person. Now, they can't see your heart. They don't know you're dead as a doornail. But because you've learned to walk by the soul and rule over that death nature, society calls you a good person. Even though you're lost. Got all that? How we doing? This is early for all this stuff, I know. Okay. So, you know, 33 years I've learned now to walk by my soul, not by my spirit. God forbid I should go in there. Then one day, you're in a real good service. Somebody presents the gospel to you. And you say, you must be born again. And you know, you may not understand it all, but you know, you believe enough of it to understand Jesus is Lord. He came and He shed His blood for your sins. And if you will believe on Him and ask Him to come into your heart, He'll forgive you and you'll be born again. I will? Yeah, you will. Well, okay, so you go, you know, respond, you go to the altar and confess your sins and ask Him to forgive you and cleanse you and come into you. You get born again. And that room that you've had locked, padlocked, plywood nailed over it, 2x6s, there's a new creature comes in there. But you've learned to never go in there. You've learned how to walk over here and make all your decisions by your intellect, by the soul, by the emotions. You've got him in there. It's a new nature in there now. It's not the old guy. See? But you've learned your whole life how to walk by the soul. It's all you know. Yeah? And every time you went in there before, you got in trouble. Now, preachers, if they're good ones, like Dave and LaRue and the Bronc and the different ones I've met here, David, they're going to start exhorting you, like Galatians does, like the New Testament does throughout, oh, you need to walk by your Spirit now. And you're going, I don't know how. I've had that door locked for 33 years. And really, when I started hearing the born-again trail, I was about almost 50. Been saved a long time, kept that door shut pretty good. Afraid to go in there. Little by little, they start getting you to getting the claw hammer out. Well, maybe I could afford to take off one tuba six. Remove that. Finally, you start taking off the tuba sixes and the plywood. You say, boy, I don't know. When I used to try and operate by my Spirit, it always caused me trouble. But the preachers keep telling me, right here it is, and I've been reading it in my Bible. I'm a good Pentecostal. I read my Bible between church services. And it says right here, it tells me I've got a new nature, and it says that the fruit of that nature is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Boy, I sure would like to have some more of that in my life. So if that's what my new nature is like, I guess I better go in there. Okay, with fear and trembling almost, you start going into the prayer closet, and the boards are going to start coming off of that room, and the padlocks are going to fall, and little by little you step in there, and with fear and trembling, you start stepping in there again, maybe after a whole lifetime of not being in there. So I wonder what God would say in here. Now here's the problem. Because we lived our whole life over here in the soul, and although we walk pretty well, I mean, according to society, we're still walking far below what God has for us. And there's a big mixture also of the truth of God's Word and the world in your soul. So you're still caught in a dilemma on every situation. You're either going to get your counsel from the new nature, or you're going to get your counsel from your soul. Okay, now watch this. Someone's real ugly to you now. You're born again, got a new nature. They're really ugly too. I mean really ugly, more than just sitting in your chair. Let's take one like when Jesus talked to Peter. God forbid they offended you in money. One of those good Christian business deals. And they walked off with your $20,000. And they ain't even repenting about it. Now you don't know what to do. Alright? Now, if you were to go to your soul and act like most Christians, the soul would say, first off, don't do anything illegal. Don't kill them. Wouldn't it? Your soul would say that because you've trained it. You've trained it, see? It'll say, now don't kill them because you'll go to jail. Now, that's what I mean about a mixture. See, it's not so much concerned about that guy. It's concerned about you going to jail. Still all about me. See? It says, don't kill them. Can't do that. Tell you what you can do, though, because this just isn't right, you know. It just isn't right. One thing about it, you do have to look out for number one. So you might consider suing them. Get your $20,000 back, and maybe $20,000 of theirs. Well, somebody's got to pay the lawyer. Shouldn't be you. Isn't that pretty typical? You're not going to like this. Go to Luke 6. LaRue says, not Luke 6. Ow! Gary, you already killed me with Luke 6. Don't go there. Now, what I described, though, isn't that pretty normal for Christians? Spirit-filled Christians. Isn't that pretty much what they'd think? And this is how we'd do it? And you might phrase it even more nicely than that. Well, I'll go talk to them first and see if they'll repent because the Word says to go first to them. And then if they don't do it, then I'll bring two or three witnesses with me. And then if they still don't give him my $20,000 back, we'll bring it up before the church. But if they still don't repent, then I'm going to sue them. I mean, you're not going to quit this deal till you get your $20,000 back, you see? Now, even though you're operating out of the soul, boy, there's a big part of the world in there. By the way, James, if you ever wondered what it meant, superfluity of naughtiness, what I'm describing right now is it. One translation says the residue, the leftover, the residue of wickedness. See, God was able to deliver His people out of Egypt in a instantly. It took 40 years in the wilderness to get Egypt out of the people. Residue of wickedness. We got a lot of that if we operate just out of our soul. So anyway, what I described, that's pretty typical of what we do, isn't it? But see, these preachers, they've been hammering you about walking in love and walking by your new nature, and that's really where the power comes. And you think, boy, I don't even know if I want to check in there. That's pretty good counsel that the soul gave me. Yes, I'm pretty scriptural there. I'm showing some love. I'm giving them opportunities to repent. And I would look good among my peers, and I could still preach. And maybe I get my 20,000 back. But just this once, I think I'll check with my new nature. And with fear and trembling, you open the door, kind of close one ear, just listen with one. What would the Lord say? Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, where do you reckon he's talking about hearing? In your new nature. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. What kind of counsel is this? I'm never going to get my 20,000 back. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away thy 20,000, give him 10,000 more. Oh, wait a minute. Him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. I knew I shouldn't have checked in this room. I'm going to get my counsel from the soul. Now see, yesterday when I was talking about the budgeting, I'm talking about exactly the same thing today that I was talking about yesterday. Seems a lot different, doesn't it? No? For years, we have been with itching ears. I have to keep using that because that's the word the Lord gave me on this one. I've never used that term, and I don't think in my teachings before, but He says with itching ears, we have gone from teacher to teacher and seminar to seminar and seminar to fill our soul with a blend of truth and the world, so that we could operate at some very low level of Christianity and it would be enough to soothe our conscience, yet pretty much still get our way and live our own life. That's why we were pretty prone to hear those messages about give and it shall be given unto me. See, it's all about me. That's why we've been prone to do that. Because that nature on the inside of you is absolutely that it's a seed, and it has the very image, just like every seed, a corn seed has the image of a full stalk of corn, doesn't it? Well, that new nature that God put in you like a seed has the image of Jesus Christ in it. That seed, if it grows up on you, grows up in you, dying on a cross, it will be saying for that guy that took your 20,000, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Now that's the kind of counsel that God's trying to bring us to. If we live by the new nature, let us learn to walk by the new nature. Now, the church I grew up in, because they never could, they didn't really understand these things. I mean, thank God for the part we did understand. But because they could never reconcile these kind of things in their mind, they come up with sayings like this. Well, church is church, business is business, and never the two shall meet. That's where we come up with phrases like, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Mixtures in the soul. We're still walking by the soul. Because this over here, if you're going to walk by the Spirit, I'm telling you now, you're going to have to die to self. I remind you again of what Smith Wigglesworth, or what I quoted yesterday. He says, all the filthy deeds of the self-life must die. Most men cannot stand the purging. May go over here for a little bit. I mean, and when you're praying in other tongues, that is exactly what's going on. I mean, the Holy Spirit is growing up that new nature on the inside of you. It's starting to take over all your thinking processes. Why do you think you hit those impasses? Every now and then, just using that one example, let's say you didn't know at first what the Holy Spirit was saying, and finally He made that passage alive to you, and it dawns on you. Just let Him take my 20,000? Hello? To go on further with you, I have to just let Him take my 20,000? And not only that, pray for Him? Bake Him a nice cake? So do good. That's to go on further with you. This is how I'm leaving this church. But bless God, I'm going back to the first church. You know, I can pray and they love me and I can have my 20,000. Now you know why we don't hear God. The number one way He communicates with us is by the inner witness. And folks, that is that conscience. That is that new nature He put in you. Really, the truth of the matter is, if we'd ever get over here enough, it would be the most natural thing in the earth. Because you know what comes with the dying? Total trust in the resurrection. You know it's all got to be your Father. How can you let the man go with the 20,000? One day it'll dawn on that thick noodle. Oh, my daddy's rich. I can get all the 20,000s I need. Oh, I get it. You're concerned about that guy going to heaven. I was only concerned about my 20,000. I repent. Now you're ready to go on till you hit your next impasse. That's what impasses are. You start finding out the truth of God that conflicts with everything you know over there in the soul. So now what God's trying to get us to do is come over here pretty much. Now, not exactly. He does intend for us to use our soul. But more and more, we got to get our counsel from our spirit, then go dictate to our soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I don't want to today. It's Monday. It's early. And there were no strawberry donuts left when I got here. Gary Carpenter got there and he fasted 2 strawberry donuts. There were no strawberry donuts when I got here, and I don't feel like blessing the Lord. Well, you tell your soul to bless the Lord. You will bless the Lord. I like what Norval, I don't have any Blue Mondays. Smith Wigglesworth was another one, he says, I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I tell Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. You're starting to rule by your spirit now. See, it's the exact opposite from the old covenant. You're going to find that once you really understand the new birth and what Dave calls the born-again trail, you're going to start reading the Old Testament in a whole new light. And plus, you'll never be put under bondage to trash like that again. And now, when I say trash, you know, anyone that knows me knows I have the utmost respect for the Word of God. It becomes trash when you try and cause spiritually alive people to operate in something that was only designed for spiritually dead people. For God's sake, church, we're not trying to keep... For me to come in here and teach a message to you that you should not operate by your spirit, which is what that verse says in Proverbs, I'm doing you the greatest disservice I could possibly do. This whole thing is supposed to be... The power is in the new nature. That's what Dave's been teaching us out of Romans 8:11. How does He change us? How does He quicken this old mortal flesh? How does He make it alive? By His Spirit, that new nature that He put in you. That's all He's got to work with. And religion keeps telling us, don't go in there. Have some balance in your life. You better operate in some, quote, wisdom. In my mind, I just always substitute the word compromise every time they say that. Wisdom, my foot. Wisdom will do exactly what your Lord says to do. And if He says, let the man go, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. I forgave you all that sin for all your life. Can't you let that man have a measly 20,000? Haven't you got it yet? Your father is rich. You have an inheritance that you could never exhaust in 10,000 lifetimes. What are you worried about the 20,000? Boy, do you start getting free. I mean, even, I don't know how to tell you how free you can be financially. It's wonderful. I'm the freest man I know when it comes to finances. Somehow, well, I know how. Not somehow. It's from doing what LaRue did a while ago. Walking the floor, walking the floor, walking the floor. Doing nothing but submitting my... I've got the soul chamber over here even believing it. I've got the unjust judge agreeing with my spirit. My spirit knows that my daddy's rich. My spirit man knows that. My soul is the one that had to be convinced. Now I got my soul and my spirit working together on this financial deal. My soul doesn't give me opposite counsel. You see? It says, send tapes. You know our tapes went into 55 nations last month? Now, if God would have told me that back in the beginning when we had that little bitty Bible study in our living room, y'all want to know how big our first mailing was? When God gave me the instructions to send everything freely and all of that. I still remember it like it was yesterday. We had two little cardboard boxes, 7 tapes in each box. This was our whole mailing list. 2. 1 lady in Michigan, 1 lady in Minnesota, 7 tapes each in a little cardboard box. At that time, it was not hard for me to obey God. Send them free. Pay the postage. I could do this. We're talking 10 bucks tops here, probably. I can do this. Not a problem. Yes, Lord. See how obedient I am, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Trouble is, he never changed those instructions. Last month, 55 nations the tapes went into. Thousands go out every month. And he's never changed the instructions. So then it was, Lord, you know, the first time it was, yes, Lord, I can do this. Now it's, yes, Lord, you can do this. You can do this. Hallelujah. That's worth a, give him a hand. That's worth a hand. Glory to God. Now I want to give you, if you brought paper and pencil, I want to give you 5 statements that I'd like for you to write down. And if you don't have anything, you might could borrow something from a neighbor. If not, you can get this tape and write them down later. Thank God for tapes. Amen. Hallelujah. I was just praying in other tongues, LaRue, at the ugly building. By the way, the first time LaRue ever saw the ugly building, I just love LaRue. And it is ugly, isn't it, LaRue? I opened that door, swung it open. He's standing there looking inside. He went like this, Father, I have no excuses. It is an ugly building. Little concrete building, no air conditioner. I do have a little heater in there for the winter. Got a fan when it's 105, you know. And LaRue says, but I like air conditioning and pillows. Well, God doesn't care if you have air conditioning and pillows as long as you go pray. And that's what LaRue was saying. I have no excuses. If you came to my ugly building, neither will you. How many of you would like to, and I know this, I'm baiting you, I guess, we'd all like to know better how to start hearing the voice of the new nature, which, first just write down, your conscience is the voice of the new nature. I think the way Hagin said it, it's the voice of your spirit. And that's true. And in a born-again person, you can trust it completely. The true conscience. Okay? So I was praying and minding my own business, just praying in other tongues. And one day the Lord gave me these 5 statements here. And I call it leadership through the conscience. Leadership through the conscience. And I think if I just give them to you like this, and then you take them and get alone with Him, He'll show you how to incorporate them in your life. Statement number one, you ready? The voice of the Holy Spirit is more closely aligned, A-L-I-G-N-E-D, with your conscience than with your intellect. I'll say it again. The voice of the Holy Spirit is more closely aligned with your conscience than with your intellect. Now, every time I give you one of these, I'm going to use our little demonstration again. See, where the Holy Spirit, even though we are led by the new nature, but who is our teacher? Who's the teacher of the new nature? The Holy Spirit. So whether you say you're being led by your new nature or being led by the Holy Spirit, there's not a whole lot of difference here. Amen? Okay, so if you want to be led by your Spirit, what he's saying is, see, we are more accustomed to walking by the intellect over here in the soul room. And he's saying, that's where you've been looking for my voice. Where all that compromise with the world is, and where every decision is usually based on your best interest. And that's why you're having a hard time hearing me. Because it's all clouded with self. And it's all mingled with world. And it's hard to hear me in there. He says, no, you step across over here into your spirit. Listen to your heart, not your head. The voice of the Holy Spirit is more closely aligned with your conscience than with your intellect over there. Got that? Second one. Locate the voice of your conscience, and you have identified the channel through which I speak, is the way he said it to me. You could say the Holy Spirit speaks. He was the one telling me this. Locate the voice of your conscience, and you have identified the channel through which I speak. Got that? Do I need to do it again? Locate the voice of your conscience, and you have identified the channel through which I speak. Now, practical. I want it practical. Many of you, I'm not looking at anybody now. Many of you, well, when I don't do that and my eye just happens to, I've had people come up before after a service and say, when you said that, you were looking right at me. I said, no, I'm just looking that way. You know, I don't have anybody in mind. What's going to happen when you start getting quiet and alone and get in there and start listening for the voice of your conscience? I can tell you right now, the first thing that's going to start coming up, unforgiveness. Tell you right now. How do you know that, Gary? Don't ask. How do you know? Don't ask. But I know what I'm talking about. You get in there and start just really listening to the new nature, because the new nature is on the same mission as Jesus Christ. That nature in you is made in His image. Now, it's still growing up, but the fundamental core, the seed in you, is the nature of Jesus Christ. And it's about the Father's business, which is always about souls. And that very one that you're holding unforgiveness about is the one the Father's trying to use you to get the gospel to. So you're working at cross purposes with your Father as long as you hold unforgiveness towards them. So I'm telling you right now, it's things to look for, so you'll kind of know what to expect when you start getting in there and getting quiet and listening to the voice of your conscience instead of your intellect, where you've justified all these reasons why you should hold aught against them. Because he's going to say, loose them and let them go. Your tendency is going to be to put another 2x6 on that door, not go in there no more. And he says, loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Forgive. You know, that's the kind of thing you can expect when you get in there. And somebody that treated you real ugly, he says, make them a nice cake. Buy them a little something. Do something. You know, will you just let me show them my love a little bit through you? That's why we don't go in there. See, that's why we don't like to go in there. And that's why everybody has so much trouble hearing God. All right. Third one. Feed, and I'm just quoting it the way he said it to me now. Feeding
on the words of Jesus strengthens the conscience. Feeding on the words of Jesus strengthens the conscience. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I was hearing this, receiving this at the Ugly Building and writing it down, I started to change it because it didn't fit my theology. Well, because I wanted to write feeding on the Word of God. That's the way I would have done it. Boy, he checked me strong. He said, you write it just like I said it. Feeding on the words of Jesus strengthens the conscience. Now, I'm not saying the whole Word of God, the whole New Testament, I don't understand that yet. I'm just being as transparent as I know how to be with you. This is the way he said it to me. Well, boy, I can sure see it from Luke 6:27. Can't you? And I remembered then that Jesus said, my words are spirit. They are life. Feeding on his words, he said, my words, they are spirit. They are life. You want a strong conscience? Eat strong spirit food. Well, I call the words of Jesus pretty strong spirit food. Reminds me also where he says, the man that does my sayings is the wise one. The man that does my sayings, hears them and does them, is the one that built his house on the rock. Amen? Or anyway, that's what he told me. He says, feeding on the words of Jesus. Now, you can't write this down. It's too long. But let me tell you something else the Lord told me 2-3 years ago. He had me start going back through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just assimilation, just the way Dave teaches. It's just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the reason he did it was this. He said, Gary, we're just praying over there, you know. And he says, how do you, and he reminded me of Jonathan and David in the Old Testament. You remember how it says their souls were knit together? And I was thinking of that, and he says, how do you ever expect, this is the Lord Jesus talking to me, he says, Gary, how do you ever expect your soul and my soul to be knit together unless you submit your soul to my words above all else? I mean, David's taught us, your soul is a magnificent thing designed by God to transform you to whatever you submit it to the most. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, if all you ever do is submit your soul to pornography, won't be very long. You'll be transformed to that. If all you submit your soul to is money-making schemes, pretty soon you'll be a money-making schemer. Isn't that right? You start submitting your soul, though, above everything else, submit your soul to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even your soul will start working in your behalf. You and Jesus, your mind, you're going to start thinking like Him. My words, He said, are spirit. They are life. And they will strengthen that new nature on the inside of you. Your new nature eats that like your body eats chicken. It'll strengthen you. Strengthen you. So I highly recommend meditating on the words of Jesus. Now here's something. This next one, this is number 4. It says, the conscience translates motives into thoughts. The conscience translates motives into thoughts. I can't help it. I'm a Trekkie. I like Star Trek. You know, in the Next Generation. I like all that. Y'all remember that universal translator thing they got? Doesn't matter what alien world they come to, turn on the universal translator, and all of a sudden everybody can understand everybody. Well, see, we have what we call gut feels. You just have it in your gut. Green light, red light, sometimes yellow light. Don't know for sure, right? Green light, yellow light, red light. You get it in your gut. And that's what you get first. It's just, man. But see, if you'll go with that, it won't be very long. Thoughts will come. You'll know what to do. Now, the best example I know of that, and I saw him here earlier. I don't know if he's here right now or not. But a young man who attends the church, this was in the living room of my house not too long ago. Nice young man. And, he was just being honest. He came over and he says,
I don't know if you can help me. He says, I have trouble hearing God. Of course, I didn't tell him I do too. I just, you know, I'm learning this like everybody else. I mean, I'm better than I used to be. You know, but you know, like Dave says, you just stand there and act like you've, well, you are. And I knew that the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I just felt like letting him go for a while. Just let him keep talking. And so he talked for quite a while. And finally, I saw what the Holy Ghost had in mind. And I said, now listen, you have trouble hearing God? I said, well, when was the last time that you know you heard God and disobeyed him? And he said, well, that really wasn't too long ago. He said, a few nights ago, me and some buddies were just going to go to a movie, and he told me the name of the movie, and I'm sure Elaine would not approve. But it wasn't like Triple X or anything like that either. Okay, I mean, it wasn't. I wouldn't even ask for a show of hands to see who all seen it. Probably a lot of them. Okay? I mean, so that's not the point. It's not like it was a horrible movie. Okay? It really wasn't. But anyway, he says, the other night, me and some buddies was going to go watch this movie. And we went over there, and we was walking up towards the theater. Got out of the car, walking up to the theater. And he said, something inside of me said, don't go in and watch that movie with your friends. Just take your car, go on back to the church, and pray instead. Let's see now. We have several choices. Was that the devil? What do y'all think? No. Was that his flesh? No, no. So, what choice do we have left here? You think God was speaking to the young man? You know? And he says it happens in a flash. I mean, it wasn't like, go thou to the Moses. How's Dave do that? You know? It wasn't like that. It's like, you know how it comes? Don't you? Just like, oh man. Oh. You know, I ought to go to the church and pray. It's more like that, isn't it? It's not like literal words running on a ticker across your brain. But you know what he means, and that's what he means. The conscience translates motives into thoughts. See, and the Lord has a motive for this young man. He wants to train him up in the gospel. Okay? Now that particular, and it's not even like the Lord said, don't ever go to a movie again. But he did say, don't go to that one. Not tonight. I went early. It wasn't even forbidding that he might go, the Lord might let him go see it tomorrow. But we're trying to learn how to be led by the Spirit. So he said, he told me that. He says, no, don't. He says, there's something in me. He said, don't go in and watch that movie with your friends. Go to the church and pray instead. So I asked him, did you do that? Well, no, I went in and watched the movie with my friends. Boy, instantly, I heard this in my spirit. He said, see, that young man doesn't have a problem hearing God. He has a problem obeying God. And see, that's the problem with all of us. I'm not just picking on him. All of us have overridden that conscience time and time and time again till we've just seared it. And now we just pretty much do what we want to do, operating, running around our little room of the soul, because in there is a mixture of the Word and self-interest and worldly ways. And you know, I can just lay down my life a little bit and still make heaven. You know, I don't have to become a bond slave over here, you know. And I can give my little tip to God and continue to live my life and get 5 more Lexuses. And go to heaven. And the thing of it is, you can, because the blood's enough. You didn't travel halfway across the country to get to this conference to live your life that way. We're going to have to start tuning back in to the voice of our new nature. And I mean, it starts with the little things. He that's faithful in little is faithful also in much. If he can't get you not to go in, and I'm not picking, if you're here, I'm preaching to all of us. Do you hear all these amens? But if he, let's just tell it like it is. If he can't get us, you know, if he can't get us for an hour and a half to 2 hours not to go in and watch a movie, go pray instead. And yet you're waiting to hear that wisdom on how to go in amongst the sharks and pull $50 billion out of the world. You're going to obey him in that with the sharks out to destroy you. Kenneth Hagin says the devil will fight you harder over the money than even the new birth or healing.
He will too, because he knows what Christians will do, real Christians, sold out ones will do with the money. We'll get people born again with it. Amen? But we kid ourselves thinking, oh, I'll hear him. Oh, I'll obey God when it's important. Now, who's the judge of that? What pride level does that thinking come from? Oh, yeah, God's talking, but I'll be the judge of what's important and what's not. And I think it's fine for me to go watch this movie. I don't know what he's talking about. Talk to the hand, God. Just talk to the hand. The ears are not listening. Just talk to the hand. I'm going and watching the movie with my friends. And he can't trust us to obey in the little things. And we think we hear him on the big ones. Time to grow up. Time to grow up. Number five. This one is really two sentences, but it's one thought. Ready? Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues aligns, A-L-I-G-N-S again. Praying in tongues aligns your heart with the motives of Christ. Praying in tongues aligns your heart with the motives of Christ. See, that's ultimate fellowship. One-on-one. You're reborn human spirit in direct contact with the Holy Ghost Himself. You have put yourself as the clay into the potter's hands now. And every hour you give Him, He is realigning everything in you at your deepest core, your true life motivation. Your true aspirations, everything about you, He is reshaping and remolding that into the very image of Christ, bringing that forward so that you'll come out of there, if you give Him enough time, saying, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Got that? Father, not my will, but thine be done. You know? So, it's two sentences. That's one. This is still number five. Now, here's the second sentence, and it's kind of long. I'm going to read that first sentence again just to make sure. Praying in tongues aligns your heart with the motives of Christ. The conscience reveals those motives to the intellect through the interpretation processes. It's a long one. I'll read it several times. Through the interpretation processes of revelation and precise instruction. It's a mouthful, I know. About three more times, probably. The conscience reveals those motives to the intellect through the interpretation processes of revelation and precise instruction. One more time. The conscience reveals those motives to the intellect through the interpretation processes of revelation and precise instruction. Got it? If not, get the tape. Now, that's a mouthful to say this. Look up here at me. It's not as bad as you think. If you start learning to do this, you remember our corridor? Spirit on this side, soul on that side. You start learning to operate by the conscience, right? That means you're going to spend a lot of time over here praying in other tongues. Let the Holy Spirit realign your motives and your real purposes. And what He's doing, He's making a bond slave out of you. Okay? You're getting the same motivations in you that Christ has in Him. He's just making you in that same image. Here's what happens. Here's what He means. As that goes on, it's no more either or. What you do is you sling open the door of your soul. You sling open the door of your spirit. And as you let Him mold and shape you, no more are you making a decision. You're always in the room of your spirit. And you dictate into the soul now. Say, oh, let the boy go with my 20,000 because Jesus wants him saved. So, you don't even have to start making it. You just fling the doors open and let the conscience begin dictating what's going to happen to your soul. Sometimes it'll come by revelation. You'll just know. Sometimes it comes by precise instruction, like give all the tapes away free. You know? Sometimes you'll just know. That's by, remember, there's four ways, primarily, that the Holy Ghost communicates with believers. Y'all remember them? There's a test. What's number one? Inner witness. What's number two? By revelation. What's number three? Visions and dreams, which also, by the way, proceeds out of the new nature. What's number four? He just talks to you. And that's that last one, see, by precise instruction. He'll just speak to you. You'll be speaking it to your soul. How do you think I got this stuff to get up, put on this paper? That's pretty precise words, isn't it? You know how many thousands of hours is in that? Praying in other tongues? But then all of a sudden it'll just come. Just as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. You can just write it right down or you can speak it in a recorder. Now, you aspiring gospel entrepreneurs, what if we can just leave the soul over here? Say, soul, I've made money in here. I've lost money in here. Can I get any witnesses? Some have worked. Most have not. New plan. We're going to go over here. Because usually when I failed, it was because I had a mixture. I had some word in there. Not saying I didn't have. But I had a mixture of the world, the word, and self. It ain't working too good. We're going to fling the doors open. I'm going to stay over here. I'm going to pray in other tongues. I'm going to strengthen my conscience by feeding on the words of Jesus. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost have His way with me. I'm going to even do some of that fasting stuff. Three donuts real fast. No. Real fasting, like Dave talks about. Anything that quiets down the flesh and strengthens my spirit. And as I hear Him now coming through that new nature, so you're not king here anymore. You're now my tool. And I'm going to rule from my spirit now. Just the opposite of Proverbs. Just the opposite of Proverbs. Remember that? Now, because the power, the life, the anointing, the flow of everything comes through that new nature. God the Father, Father, thy will be done in earth just like it is in heaven. The Father's will from heaven flows right through you, right through that new nature, right into your soul now. You speak and do corresponding actions, and the Holy Spirit manifests the Father's will in the earth just like it is in heaven. Did that bless you? Father, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name that You've revealed these things unto children and babes. Lord God, even we can do this. We can go pray, God. Father, we can spend time with You so You train and teach us how to operate out of our new nature so we can walk by the Spirit rather than by the soul. We thank You and we praise You, Father, for all the miracles, everything You've done up till now, including the teaching. And Lord, everything You're going to do today, everything You're going to do throughout this whole conference, and even after this conference, Father. Father, I thank You that the confessions we've made are true. These people will leave here as living flames of fire. And in their mind, it won't be them going back to be subjected to dry places. It will be them going back to ignite forest fires of revivals in dry places, to carry the torch from here to where they live, that Your will be done in the earth just like it is in heaven. We thank You for these things in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen.